Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 453. At least I think it is. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
My fucking computer doesn't fucking work. Fuck.
It's a lot of fucks.
Fuck yeah, it is.
Jeff is here as well.
I just want a fucking car that fucking works. I don't have to walk across the fucking airport. Wherever, however that speech goes. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? Yeah.
Sounds good. I hope you get that one day, Jeff.
You and John Candy. It's close.
Earl may be joining us. Hope so. But we are going to kind of kick off things without him. And hopefully he shows up for our Hall of Fame nominee talk at the end. But what have you guys been playing this week? Anything new?
How about something very old?
Or not? Sure.
I guess not very old. Old for me. I tried out the remaster of Assassin's Creed Liberation.
Okay, that's the one with Aveline?
Yes.
Okay.
That game does not play very well. It's, number one, it looks like ass.
Like it was a Vita game.
Right? It was like a mobile game, which they made into a console game, and now they've remastered it. It looks terrible. It looks absolutely horrible.
Is it like a side scroller or?
Oh no, it's like a real Assassin's Creed game.
Yeah. Oh wow!
Except since it's meant to be played on a mobile device, it's like really choppy and divided into like little areas.
Yeah.
So instead of...
The cities are small.
The cities are small. There's not like... I don't know. There's not as many like enemies wandering around. Most of the fighting encounters you have are like planned, which is weird. Like it's like a set piece fight. I don't know. I was not thrilled. The story is also really chopped up. It's really hard to figure out what's going on. Because, like, the dialogue seems to come out of nowhere. Like, you do this thing, and then suddenly you're transported into a cutscene that's really far away, and you're talking to someone who they've never introduced, and she's apparently your mother or something, and just talking at you.
And it's, that'll be a flashback, because I think her mom's dead.
It's, I guess her stepmother.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's really hard to follow what's actually going on. So I made it through the end of the first sequence. I don't know if I'll be playing anymore. It was just not great.
That's unfortunate.
Of course, it comes, you know, together with the Assassin's Creed 3 remaster, which I will also try. But I was like, I haven't played Liberation before. I'm going to give this a shot. And I was very disappointed.
Yeah, I remember liking Liberation, but I did play it on the Vita and like, I feel that might be, like, at the time, it was probably pretty impressive for what it was on that system.
Right.
I can't imagine that it holds up super great. So, like, it definitely seemed like a condensed version of it.
Yeah, why are you doing this to yourself?
Well, because I have it, because I have the season's pass for Assassin's Creed Odyssey. So it was free.
Yeah, it was one of the add-ins.
A bonus.
Yeah. Yeah. So I, you know, tried it, and now I'm done with it.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. Like, maybe it would be worth it for the story, but the story is just so chopped up, and I don't know.
Right.
I can't do it.
And there's plenty of other stuff to play. you play anything else?
Did I play anything else? I don't think I did. I think that was it.
I could see how that would sour somebody for the week.
Yeah. Well, it was that, and you know, of course, I meant to have played some Total War.
Yeah.
Which came out today, but last week, and I think it was right before the podcast, my laptop died. So I had to order a new gaming rig. So ordered a very nice Alienware tower from Best Buy, and it arrived on Tuesday, and I set everything up, and I pressed the power button, and nothing happened. So, yeah, it doesn't work.
That is That is depressing.
Yeah, but it's really frustrating. Like, they shipped it in the box with like no padding whatsoever, so the computer was like sitting in a box inside of another box, just like rattling around. And now when you pick it up, you can hear stuff rattling around inside, and it's just it's dead. It's clearly dead. And now I have to go ream some poor bastard out at the Geek Squad at Best Buy tomorrow.
It's like, who thought that this was a good way of packaging? Right. He's like, I didn't pack him shit.
I can tell. Fucker.
Well, I hope you get your computer fixed and then can bring Jeff all of his strategy game goodness.
He really wants to hear all about the new Total War, I can tell. Yeah. I've read some reviews.
It feels like, you know, we never stopped the last Total War. Maybe it's time to end war, make peace.
Do you remember the last Total War, Jeff? It's been a little while.
Like I said, I it feels like it's been nonstop Total War.
Thrones of Britannia. It's been like a year.
I don't believe this.
I'm chomping at the bit for a new one.
I mean, there wasn't a bunch of expansions for that either, was there?
No. It was kind of like a one-off.
Yeah.
Thing. It wasn't even in the engine of the newer Total War games.
Jeff, I think you are getting Total War mixed up with one of Tony's Paradox games that gets an expansion every like 5 months or something.
Yeah.
I feel like Total War is always in the mix, man. I don't know.
It is. I don't think it's quite as all encompassing as some of those Paradox games.
Which release a new expansion like
every. Is there another one with the word war that I'm thinking of, or no? What is like? What are you thinking of? Like, the one with all the expansions?
Universalis.
Yeah.
God.
I guess they finally stopped Crusader Kings 2.
No, that just had an expansion. But
it's still going.
I stopped playing it because it looks like the game came out in like 2009.
Yeah, it's like a decade old now.
And it looks like ass now. You compare it to the other Total War or the other Paradox games, which are all like 2014 and later, and they all look so much more awesome. And I'm like, you need to remake. There needs to be a Crusader Kings 3 now. But
they should get on that.
Yeah, I think that should be their next release, so that I can talk to Jeff about it.
I can't wait.
All right. Well, I played
a bunch of games.
I played a bunch of games this week. Mostly, I've been going through the Microsoft Rewards quests that relate to Game Pass. And I guess one was play a new game that came out on the on the service in the last month. So I picked up Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. That is so they have a story mode, which is, I guess, similar to Mortal Kombat and Injustice, but super not as well done.
Well, it's not like Marvel versus Capcom is like completely different in terms of like how it plays than
Mortal
Kombat, right?
So like, Marvel versus Capcom plays as you play as teams, so it's like a tag game. So it's, if you ever played a like Tekken Tag Tournament, like you have two people that you pick,
team,
and that's how you you fight. Like, you can tag in and out. So, like, conceptually, yes, that fighting is different, but they're trying to go for like that narrative structure that Mortal Kombat and Injustice have. But instead of like when you're playing, like you play like a chapter as like Johnny Cage or something. And you'll play like, you know, there's like three or four fights, but they'll all be against other characters that are on the roster. In this, you'll fight against Ultron's the big baddie in this, or it's like Ultron Omega or something like that. It's like some super Ultron, and you're fighting against like his robots that he's created. So it's like part of the fun of playing Mortal Kombat is like, all right, like I'm going to do this Johnny Cage versus Scorpion fight, or Johnny Cage versus like Sub-Zero in that chapter. And then you'll move on and there'll be this like narrative progression, very cinematic done. Like they kind of do like the cinematic cutscenes, but they get the fighting is completely boring. It's not fun.
Is it even like a, like I'm picturing in my head, like an arcade beat 'em up type thing where there's like multiple enemies you're fighting on screen, or no? Is it
just, no, you're still, like you're just fighting like one at a time. So it's just a straight fighting game, like where you have like one character. You can bring, like when you tag in, like your characters can like kind of just like in wrestling, like with where you tag in, like two of your guys do like an attack or something. So there are like special attacks you can do like that. And the enemies can do the same thing. But it's not like a beat 'em up. It is very much just a fighting game where you play one round and you try and beat the characters that are there. Sometimes they'll like double up or triple up the enemies. So you'll have to like fight four or six enemies. But it's always one at a time. And those like little drone guys are so easy to beat that they're not even, there's no challenge to them. It's like, I suck at fighting games and I was able to take them down. Like the only fights I actually had any difficulty with is when you had to fight like another major character. And generally like the fights I had most trouble with were Hulk, Ultron, Omega, or whatever it is himself, and Thanos, because they're just like, they hit you once and take off like a quarter of your health because they're so big. Yeah. But they're also super slow. So when you have to play as them, it kind of sucks. But I don't know. I did not like it. I didn't think the gameplay was great. The story is like anime bullshit, which, you know, to a point makes some sense. Like you're mixing superheroes and Capcom video game characters. Some of it's like really goofy. Like you'll have a like Chris Redfield teaming up with Spider-Man. They all act like they know each other. It's really strange. Some of the character interactions are funny. Like Frank West is portrayed as like this skittish, kind of coward, and he'll come across like Hagar from Streets of Rage, like the guy who plays the mayor in one of those games. He just like berates Frank West from Dead Rising. Dead Rising, Jeff?
Yeah.
He just like berates him, makes fun of him. Like so some of the interactions are fun. It's just I didn't find playing the game to be all that great. So I beat that story mode. It's really quick. You can be in probably 2.5-3 hours, but I have no interest in playing any more of it. And I suck at fighting games. But Marvel vs. Capcom has always been like one of those ones. It's like, you know, you press some buttons and like cool shit happens. And yeah, that still happens. But those previous games were like insane when you watch them. Like shit's blasting off all over. Like this is way more reserved. Seems way slower.
Really?
And it's like, this is not like what, I mean, some of it could just be I suck at fighting games, so maybe I'm doing things wrong, but there wasn't enough shit blowing up for what I wanted out of these games. So I don't recommend it, but I'm also not a fighting game guy. So,
well, I think this game was not well received, was it?
I don't think so. Which is funny because it's supposed to be like the living Marvel versus Capcom game. Like they're going to keep adding characters to it. But, Capcom has not had a great string. Was it Street Fighter V? That one that released poorly, and then this one came out after that, and this wasn't received super well. So, yeah, I would maybe stay away from that. Another game I played that I think Jeff you played is a game called Abzu.
Yeah,
it's like a swimming, underwater diving exploration game.
Yeah,
really chill. It's super relaxing, very pretty, nice art style. I played through that. I think it was like 2 hours, hour and a half. Really, really simple kind of game, but super relaxing. Music's nice. Looks great. Had
its moments.
Yeah. It's not like deeply engaging or anything, but it's.
I remember near the end, it kind of a little bit though. Like, don't you get, like, start to get out of the water and like do shit? Like, there's like little puzzles and shit.
Yeah, there's yeah. Like, I mean, it's kind of like a puzzle game, I guess, to begin with. But yeah, the puzzles towards the end get a little more complex and.
But yeah, but like very early on, for like I'd say most of the game, just it's basically like swim. Yeah. It's just like swim. You'll intuitively know where to go next. Yeah. It's like obvious, and then. But yeah, I remember near the end, it was like. Get out of the water now. And I was like, what the fuck am I doing? And I'm like walking around on land and shit, like, you know, on these ruins and shit. And I was just like, this is weird, dude. It's like a, you know, aquatic journey or whatever.
Yeah, that was the vibe I got from it. I think Journey is a better game, but it was something.
I dig, like, I think Journey probably is a better game, but, like, I dig the setting, like, and the look of, like, some of the parts early on are really stunning, like, I don't know, like, just
oh, there's some, like, awesome moments, like, when you're, like, going up, like, you swim whale. Out, and there's the blue whales, and, like, you're swimming alongside them, and, like, they are massive next to you, like, you seem very inconsequential in their daily life. You're just, like, just seeing the size of these things, and, like attaching yourself to a shark or something. It's like, it's fun and cool. And it's the setting, I think, is what makes it, because it is so, it's abnormal to get a game where you're kind of like swimming around the ocean and experiencing sea life.
Yeah. There was that Wii game, Endless Ocean.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. It's like very few and far between. It's kind of cool here, 'cause you can actually look at the fish and tube if you want to, like,
yep.
I think pet them, and then like it just kind of shows the fish close up, and they'll tell you what it is. Yeah, it's a pretty cool game. Is that in Game Pass?
Yep.
Interesting.
Also on Game Pass is What Remains of Edith Finch.
Yeah.
Did you played this?
I mean, I famously panned that game on this show. Yeah.
Huh. Did you finish it?
Yes, I hated it.
Really?
Absolutely fucking hated it.
I ended up loving it.
Like, oh no, fight.
Well, it's been too long for me to really fight about it, but
so go ahead. It is very much a walking simulator. Like, there's not a whole lot to do in the game. It's just, you kind of like explore. It's kind of like Gone Home in a way, but way more quirky.
It's quirky. All right.
Like, it's all over the place. Like, so Edith Finch is about, the Finches. And they have a kind of like this curse that is attached to the family, where they all die in some tragic way. And as you're exploring this, your family house, you're learning their stories. And some of them are very simplistic, and it's just like, you know, it's like, oh, like, you know, some stupid parent put the swing set too close to the edge of a cliff, and the kid ends up like trying to do a flip off the thing, and he ends up flying off the cliff, which is like tragic. But the way they set it up is like his twin brother had like kind of set up a memorial in their bedroom, and he wanted to remember him as like being, you know, this carefree individual that, you know, wanted to fly, and that's how he remembered him. So it was interesting to see how that stuff relates, but they all die in like these tragic ways. So sometimes you're playing as them as, you know, they die. Like, it's insane. But I enjoyed like the story of it and seeing how it goes through, and that you're playing as Edith Finch's son, reading her journal about her family, this crazy fucked up family that lives in like this crazy house. It's like out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. Some of it's coming like
weirdly designed, and it's,
yeah, I didn't buy any of it. Like,
no, it's that completely felt like a loony, like,
none of it felt like
real.
Yeah, and including like the emotional stuff that it was going for, it's like it's all built on such kind of nonsense. Like every that's coming back to me now. Like my complaints with it. Like every short story, so to speak, in it. Like it's a really cool idea. I remember going into the game like really psyched for it because I was like, oh, it's going to be a bunch of these short stories and with like a death at the end. Like that's awesome. It's like almost like a horror type thing, and it's like.
It's definitely not horror. Like, I mean, they are horrific, but it is not played up to be like that type.
Yeah, I found most of the stories to suck. And like the example you gave up, it's like, why would there be a swing set next to a cliff? Why would you have this like crazy insane house? Like, they do kind of
go into that a little bit with the guy, the patriarch of the family. Way back when was a little goofy and off, and like he tried to sail his house from Ireland or something like that.
I just expected more out of each. Like it just seemed like you'd just be plodding along or walking along, and then your death would happen, and the death was like usually really dumb. Like I was like, oh, this is not like. I want some Final Destination or something.
They're very ordinary deaths, right? Like,
I mean, come on, a swing set on the side of a cliff is like, what the fuck are we talking about here?
It sounds like a great idea.
And you wanted to fly, and I remember that kind of motif in there.
Some of them are like super tragic though, like the young kid drowning in the tub, and
there's a few that were good, but there's some that were bad.
Sure.
And I felt like it built to this ending that. I don't remember what it was, but it was kind of like this, just like kind of Hallmark sentiment where it was just like,
it's so like at the beginning, like I thought I was playing as Edith, the narrator, right? Like the game starts out, you're on the boat and you open up this notebook and like you're starting to read through it and you take part and you're exploring the house and everything, and you're doing that all as this girl Edith, but it actually turns out like the way the spoilers for a game that's 2 years old now, that if you haven't played it, you probably aren't at this point.
Nope, probably not.
But you're playing as her son, like the person who opened the book is her son, and it ends with his birth, because I guess she died during childbirth. But she had written all these stories down about her family, because like her mom was crazy and had locked away basically all the secrets. So she goes back to the house and explores and finds out everything, you know, like that she had an uncle who lived in the basement for 40 years. Then they never, like she never knew because she wasn't allowed in the basement.
Again, sorry. It's just to me, it's like if you're gonna do a story game, like you gotta make that stuff gripping, and you gotta make it, you know. I was surprised how little it had to actually say at the end. I was just like, oh, it was like some sort of bullshit. Like I'm not saying this is what it was, but it was like about as deep as that. Where it's like, you know, don't be sad that they're gone. You know, just be happy that they were there in the first place. It's like this is something fat and stupid. Like it was just like. Oh, great.
Yeah, well, I think it was more about like you shouldn't like lock away your emotions for the people that you loved. Like you should celebrate them and keep continue to pass that down so that people can also love them. Like
I remember it being slightly dumber than that, but
that's what I got out of it. I mean, like I could definitely see somebody taking something else out of it. I don't know.
It's been 2 years for me too, so yeah. I'm just pulling shit out of my ass here.
Some of the stories, they're not all great. Like, there's one where you like morph into a fucking tentacle monster, like that was weird. I don't understand even what the death for that one was. Like, I guess she just went missing or something. And I guess they never really explore like the one kid Milton who disappears. I don't think they ever actually. Go into what happened to him, but
he's not like. I remember there was like a brother who was like smoking pot in his like treehouse or some bullshit.
Oh yeah, he lived in a boat in his He lived in a boat at the top of the house. And yeah, he was the cannery worker, Lewis.
He died at the cannery.
Yeah, he
found a job, right?
He obviously suffered from some sort of mental illness, and he started creating a fantasy world where he lived.
It's just a bunch of fucking nonsense. I thought, like, it really was to me, but you are in the majority, so
I liked it, it worked. I enjoyed kind of like what it was going for, and I even went back and, like, you know, there's only 10 achievements, but I went back and, like, all right, there's 4 here. I got to replay this one and, like, walk a different path or, you know, do a couple different. So I went back and got all 10 achievements. So 1,000 points on that one. But yeah, if you don't like walking Sims, though,
I don't think it's going to convince you.
And then even if you do, like, Jeff did not come away from liking this one either. So, and finally, and unfortunately, Earl's not here because he asked the question last week: which Aladdin is better, Genesis or Super Nintendo? And I've always held the opinion that the Genesis version is. And after having played through both games over the last 2 days, they're very short, mind you. The Genesis takes about 2 hours, the Super Nintendo about an hour and a half. The Genesis version is clearly better.
And I remember asking this last week, but that's like the more action oriented one.
Yeah, so that's the one
kind of more cartoony.
It animation wise, it definitely looks a whole lot better. You have, like, you know, Aladdin has a sword. You'll fight off, like, guards. I think you asked, like one was a little more like, Prince of Persia.
Yeah, the Super Nintendo one, I thought.
So the Super Nintendo one is very much just a Capcom platforming game.
It is. Okay.
Where you jump on enemies' heads to kill them.
Yeah, mixing it up with another series. There was a lot of, like, Disney licensed games like that back then.
I think the Genesis one is more Prince of Persia. Like like where you're fighting guards, like, with the scimitar, and you're doing some platforming and puzzle solving. I think that one is way more involved. The levels are longer. Everything looks, like, animation wise, like, the characters look way better. They're bigger. They have more detail. I think, like, the one spot where it kind of falls a little bit is at the ending. The final battle with Jafar is kind of stupid. Like, you throw apples at him. I don't understand why, but, like, that's how you beat him. Like, because you can't get close to him because he has magic. And so you're tossing apples at him to stun him.
And this is the Genesis one, you said?
This is the Genesis one.
Is that Capcom also?
No, so that is, I believe, Virgin Interactive and Disney Studios. And then the Capcom one is by Capcom. I think Shinji Mikami actually directed the game. And that one's more like straight platforming. Like, the levels are shorter. They're segmented, though, so, like, you'll get through, like, world 1-1 and then do, like, world 1-2, world 1-3, until you get to the end. There's not a lot of bosses in either one. Both games focus almost exclusively in the like, early part of Aladdin, which makes sense. If you guys remember the movie, all the action in Aladdin happens in, like, the first act up until, like, the very end when, you know, they fight Jafar. Mm-hmm. Like, the first act is, like, getting the lamp, and it's all through, like, the Cave of Wonders and the Agrabah, like, all that part. And then the second act is, like, when, you know, he wishes to be a prince and he's, like, trying to court Jasmine.
Do they both have a magic carpet ride level?
Yes. Yeah, they do.
Do they play the music? Is it like chiptune?
Yeah, so the music in the Genesis version way better.
Really?
Very identifiable as the music from the movie. The Super Nintendo version, I think the music is shitty. It's less identifiable. There's stuff like the ending theme, which is A Whole New World. That sounds like it. But yeah, I don't think the sound in the Super Nintendo version is
that's that weird. Great. I always thought that I always thought the Super Nintendo usually had better sound. It had better sound capabilities in general than this.
It might have. It just might have been the programming from Capcom.
I feel like I got it flipped wrong or something. Someone's gonna say I'm an idiot, but whatever.
So I've always thought that the first gen Genesises. So there was three iterations of Genesis, and they changed the audio chip for the second and third runs. But if I remember correctly, that first audio chip is the one that, if you have that system, you have the best sounding 16-bit shit.
Really? Better than Super Nintendo then?
Yeah.
Because I could have sworn that it was maybe it's consensus that the Genesis is the better sounding one, in general.
Well, I think it depends on which Genesis you have. I think that.
Yeah, really, but I think if you go, we're just saying, I guess there wasn't really many iterations of the SNES, but you just take here's just, that's the Genesis I had,
That first one, yeah.
Yeah,
And it all comes down to also, what the game, how they program it and the music that they design.
They had a different quality to the audio on each system. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so.
There's a different sound to a Genesis game than a Super Nintendo game.
Yes.
But
anyway, so those games, almost all of them take place early on that first act, and then they skip the whole middle section. There is a magic carpet ride there's two magic carpet rides. There's the one where you escape, where you hop on the carpet and you're trying to escape from the Cave of Wonders. So they both do that. And I think the Genesis version of that is a little bit better. And then the Super Nintendo version actually does a whole new world carpet ride where there's no enemies. You're just flying around collecting gems. While a shitty version of that song plays without words, obviously. And then I think where the Super Nintendo version pulls ahead, at least in the final, is that final level.
You're not throwing apples at the...
No, you're fighting Jafar as a giant snake. I don't remember if he turns into a giant snake or not. But you fight him as a giant snake, and you beat him by jumping on his head, but it's a cooler looking final battle. They're both good games. I think the Genesis version is clearly the better one though. So,
all right.
So what have you played, Jeff?
I played the hot new game that I think hot. I bought.
Hot.
Team Sonic Racing.
Is it better or worse than Sonic Racing All-Stars Transformed?
I think, let me say this. Before it came out, I started playing Transformed because I think it was free on Xbox or something a couple months back. So I had it on my hard drive. Or I bought it. I don't know. But, for a day or two before this game came out, I was playing through Transformed. And I put a decent amount of time into it. The thing about Transformed is that might be one of the best kart racing games ever made. It's really great. And so I don't think this lives up to that. This is the third one that they've done. I think the developer is called Sumo Digital.
Okay.
This is the third Sonic kart racer. And I dig their stuff, and I'm giving this game, Team Sonic Racing, a definite recommend. I think they had a formula of Transformed that was amazing. It was just every fucking Sega property thrown into one, and then like all like a lot of the tracks, most of them switch between, you know, standard racing, boats, and like flying, like, and it was just like on the fly as you're going through the track, like switch between those, like hence the transformed, you know, title,
right?
And then here with this one, it's like it's only Sonic characters and all that other shit's gone, and it's just like a regular kart racer with like a team element to it. So it's like,
how does that work?
It works fine, actually, and it's not like it's a cool wrinkle that makes it like, I think, stand out from Mario Kart. It's like, imagine like Transformed didn't exist and there was just like Mario Kart 8, and then this came out. I'd say like this is a cool, neat like spin on it, you know, like a different, like cool alternative. But yeah, the way the team stuff works out is like there's basically like two or three things you could do, but the idea is, like, you win or lose as a team. So, like, you could, you know, like you add up the points at the end and between you and your other two teammates, like, whoever, you know, whoever's got the most points, that's, like, the team that wins. So you could, like, potentially be in, like, third place and still win a race. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Although I tend to find that, like, I tend to be, like, the leader of my team. And so, like, if I ended up in, like, third place,
you don't win.
They're usually in, like, fourth or fifth.
Right.
You know? But the way the team, like, beyond that, like, as you're racing, there's things you could do, but none of it is like very obtrusive or anything. It's just like a cool little wrinkle to the racing. Like, probably like the thing that like affects the race most and is like the most fun and like the thing you're actually trying to do is like basically the slipstream stuff, where you're like, if you're like right behind one of your teammates and you stay in that lane, once you get out of it, you'll just go flying right past them and, like, boost you. Like, they call it slingshot. They're, like, slingshot you past your teammate. So, like, you're always just trying to, like, you know, if you're in, you know, if you're behind one of your teammates, you get, like, right behind them, so you get that slingshot effect. You could trade items. So let's say you're in first place and you get a boost and you feel like you don't need it. You can just hit the B button and like one of your teammates could grab it from you. You know, like I think it pops up on the screen saying like, would someone like this item? And you could press B to take it. Right.
Right.
Other than that, let's say you like spun out or whatever. If like what teammate drives right by you, it'll like spin them and give them like a boost to get them back going again. That's about it. Like it's just a couple little, like little mechanics added to the race. You know, the game looks really nice. I'm playing it on Xbox One. Plays nice, like all their games do. The tracks are good, but, like, again, it's just, like, I don't think there's any comparing to, like, the work that they did in Transformed. Like, shit, like, Adder's Lair, which is, like, the Golden Axe level, or, like, fucking the Afterburner level, where all of a sudden, like, you're taking off and you turn into a plane and flying and shit, like, nothing like that here. It's just good, solid, you know, kart tracks. Very colorful and, you know, how you expect from Sonic. And, like, they're all based on, like, Sonic games. So, like, there's, like, kind of casino-themed ones and stuff like that. But it's a fun game, dude. It's like, $40. I think this series is nearly as good as Mario Kart or, you know, with Transformed, I'd say almost better. And, you know, this game here is $40, and there's a lot more to do in them than a Mario Kart game. Like, there's always, like, a full story mode that you're playing through. Like, you know, there's, like, a world map where you're selecting levels and doing shit and unlocking stuff. I wish they would do something more like that in Mario Kart, hopefully next time.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, this is, like, you know, for $40, it's, like, you're getting a lot of game, and it's fun. Like, if you like kart racers, you're going to like it, I think. So
nice. I don't know if June is so packed with games that...
there's also... I think a lot of people did not buy this one because there's Crash Tag Team Racing, and I know a lot of people like, have a lot of affection for that game. So
because people are totally not into a game when a sequel comes out after they liked the previous one.
I don't know. I mean, that's my guess. I have not seen anyone else that bought this game. I'm like, well, maybe people are just waiting for Crash because it's like literally like three or 4 weeks away.
I'm not going to like it's Crash was on my list to get, and it still is. And it's like, I don't know if I want to spend $40 on another kart racer that close to each other.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But for me personally, there's never enough. Like, I love.
Sure.
I've always liked like the other weird. Like, I remember I used to like Mickey Speedway on N64.
Yeah, that was a good game.
Just like, most of them are not going to be as good as Mario Kart, but it's like it's a fun formula. Like, it's just fun. You know, it's simple fun.
Yeah.
So, this maybe one's good at some point. Yeah, I imagine you'll see this on sale for sure too. Like, it's already, I'd say, a good price, but fuck, man. I'd say play it at some point if you like kart racers.
Yeah. You play anything else?
Just a little more Castlevania. I'm in the final stage of Bloodlines.
Okay.
Pretty awesome game. No, other than that, more Stardew Valley, but I'm going to go on about that. About it. Kind of those three. I think.
All right. Well, before I don't have any news here, but I did just catch something. On Reddit, and I thought it'd be interesting. As you guys know, Microsoft gives a list of like the top 50, or well, I guess it's top 49 now. They used to have top 50 most played games on Xbox. Anthem is no longer on that list.
Oh no.
It has fallen off the list.
Rest in peace, Anthem. Rest in peace. We'll miss you.
I guess Battlefield 1 is the last one on that list currently. The top of the list looks pretty much what you'd expect, like Fortnite, Call of Duty 4, or Black Ops 4, Grand Theft Auto 5. Weird to me is that Rainbow Six Siege is the number 3 most played game.
No, that everybody loves that game. That game is super popular.
Apex Legends still up there. Something called Roblox. Yeah, I don't know what that is.
My son plays that. It's like a
Roblox. I was like, that's like a game. Popular kid game. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like right above Minecraft. So it's like right. Yeah. They're like next to next. Red Dead 2, Rocket League, Ark, Destiny 2. Mortal Kombat 11, PUBG, Overwatch, Madden, FIFA, Black Ops 3, Sea of Thieves, still in that top 50.
Oh, wow.
Fallout 4 and Fallout 76 up there. Halo 5, Halo Master Chief, Monster Hunter World, two versions of NBA 2K. but yeah, Anthem, goodbye.
so that's
sad for them. I keep going like, oh, maybe if I see it for $20, but there's games coming that are new and that people seem interested in. So no one seems to want to play Anthem, and I'll just wait for it to show up on EA Access. And probably not play it then either.
Probably not.
All right. Well, I'd hope to have Earl here for this.
He tweeted something a little while ago. Well, I don't know what he's doing.
Did he?
I tweeted at him. I saw he was tweeting, so I tweeted at him. He didn't respond. How dare he?
Okay, I don't see an email from him. Anyway, maybe he can give us his nominee offline. But yeah, so last week we kind of like workshopped an idea for a video game Hall of Fame where we'd each nominate a game, and then next week we would like give everybody a week to kind of like go play those games if we want, and you know, build up either build up an argument against them if we want. Otherwise, we can let that kind of pass through. Sometime this morning, we decided we would also take a listener and fan friend acquaintances nominees as well. And now we now have 10 of those.
Yeah.
So should I read those off first? So the way we're going to do those is, and we can do the voting next week, but I'll give you the list and we're going to put them in order, like how we feel, kind of like you would do if you were voting for like the NBA MVP. It's like, you know, Steph Curry, number one, LeBron James, number two, like, and then tiered ranking from there, like point wise. And then we total up our votes, and that would be how we get the listener nominee in.
So it's gonna like one is gonna win.
Yeah, I think we should. Yeah. I think one at a time. So we're only bringing one nominee each.
Yeah.
So we'll let the listeners bring one nominee. I kind of came up with this crazy idea of, so who knows how long we'll continue to do this, but at some point with like the Baseball Hall of Fame, don't they like kind of retire you out of being able to be voted on?
Yeah, it's like a 10-year cycle.
So maybe we don't do 10 years because that seems insane, but maybe we come up with some way where we can retire. Like, all right, like, so Metal Gear Solid 3 has kind of been up for it for the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 of these.
It's not getting through.
Yeah, we just go, nah, it's off the list. Like, unless one of us brings it back specifically.
Right, so we're the Veterans Committee, the Seniors Committee.
Yeah.
We're like a bunch of old men picking stuff.
Basically. I mean, and we are. So,
God damn it.
Yeah, you've walked right into that one.
Damn it.
All right, so I will read off the 10 nominees we have and who they're from. So Mario 64, that nominee came in from Javi.
I'm shocked. He dropped
that. Yeah, not surprising at all. He dropped that in a couple places for us, just in case we missed it on one of our social media accounts. Josh, our buddy Movie Guru, he has nominated GTA 3. Justin, or as we know him on Twitter, Justin, Metal Gear Solid 1.
Fozzie's not on the podcast anymore there, Justin.
Yeah. our buddy Tony on, and we know him as Boots on Twitter, he nominated 2, so I don't know how we handle this. He said Metal Gear Solid 3 and Final Fantasy 3, but he listed them both on Facebook, so I don't know if we can count both. Maybe we cross off Final Fantasy 3 and he can nominate that next time. From Reddit, we got a Persona 3 from Dixon, A Link to the Past from NerdXP, Chris, and Silent Hill 2 came in from Emerald Rush on Reddit. Super Smash Bros. Melee came in from Lance on Facebook, and Chrono Trigger just now came in from Priscilla on Twitter. So those are the 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yes, 10.
10 is a good number. I like that. I like that number.
So I guess we'll order them for next week and bring them back. I guess we'll take the one with the highest vote count wins and we'll get in. But now it comes to us. And I'm going to throw this at Jeff first. Jeff, what is your nominee for Hall of Fame for us to kind of go and research this week?
Well, talking about it last week.
Oh, no.
Little known TurboGrafx 16 game, Blazing Lasers. But then I realized
that there are 97,000 other really good games that you could nominate. Wait.
Before we get there, I do want to read. I need to read something here. Jeff wrote back to our buddy Movie Guru about Blazing Lasers, and this is Josh's response to him nominating Blazing Lasers for this. What the fuck are you talking about? Stop making up games. You're trying to make a joke out of your Hall of Fame before you even start.
I mean, the funny thing is, though, like, for real, if, like, anyone else here besides me to play that game, they would like respect that I'm picking that game. But that's funny that he said I was making up games.
I played it. I am not a shmup fan, but our buddy Chris on Twitter,
back me up on that.
Retrocore, he would probably be all over that game. Like, he loves shmup.
It's one of the better ones for sure. Like, even if you're not a shmup fan, it's like, that's one of the ones I'd be like, we'll try this one out, you know?
Right. Or, so you've decided not to go that route.
No, I'm not. Because I'm like, all right, I don't know how long we're going to do this. And, you know, if I'm taking it seriously, and what would be, like, my first pick anyways? Like, what would it be? Like, my number one, like, I had one pick to put something into the Hall of Fame of video games. I mean, there's no other choice that it could be. Like, it has to be Legend of Zelda. And it has to be the original Legend of Zelda for me. So, I mean, I guess I could explain why if you want. But, I mean, it's the game that got me into video games. Like, I think most people would go, well, it should be Link to the Past, right? And someone, nominated that. And I do think that, like, Link to the Past is maybe a better game. And, it's a game that I love more when it did come out. But, like, this is the game. Like, without this, there's no Link to the Past, right?
Right.
And this is, like, the game, like, without the original Legend of Zelda, I don't know that I'm as into video games, 40 years later. or 30 years later. Shit, I'm not that old yet. I have a lot of fond memories of it. Like, I've told this story probably before, but it's like, at that time when that came out, like, my dad would play some games. Like, I remember him beating, like, Punch-Out. He played the hell out of, like, I think Joe Montana football on the Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, he was, like, obsessed with fucking Legend of Zelda, and he was, like, drawing maps of Hyrule. And I remember, like, he woke me up when he beat it. It was, like, 2 a.m. on a school night. He's like, oh, Jeff, you gotta come see this. Like, and, he's like, I beat it. Like, I was like, I don't even know if I ever beat it back then, but, I've beat it in the years since. I've played it on everything at this point. I think I beat it for the first time when it was on the Wii. I do think, like, it's one of those ones where, again, like I said, people will go Link to the Past, and then they'll say, oh, the original Legend is all the, it's old, it's dated, it doesn't hold up. And it's like, I don't know, every time I played it, even if I played it today, like, last time I probably played it was like a year or two ago. Yeah, it's not as polished and as amazing as a Super Nintendo game, but, like, for a regular Nintendo game, it's amazing, dude. Like, and it does, in my opinion, still hold up. It's like, it's simple, it's fun, and kind of more so than any of the ones since, it's like, it is kind of like you can tackle it in whatever order you want. So, some of that is a little archaic now, where it's like you don't have an actual map and stuff like that. But it's still just a fun adventure game that, like, yeah, it's dated, but it in many ways does hold up, in my opinion. So,
So we'll go back, maybe play some Legend of Zelda this week.
I think it's on. It's probably on the Nintendo Online, right?
It's certainly on there. I'm sure Tony will come up with some argument for why.
I have a week, right? I can come up with something, right?
This is going to be a little bit harder than Blazing Lasers.
This might be slightly harder. Yes, it's one of the most legendary games of all time. It would be really hard.
But I'm sure that you can succeed in finding something.
I got to come up with something. I feel like I've been called out. Like, this needs to happen.
You both have played this one, right? Like,
I've played and beaten it, yeah.
Wait, played what? I don't remember this game. What is it again?
This came with it was an.
Did you have a Nintendo as a young lad?
Oh my god, yes! I played this game. Come on.
So, you don't need to replay it. You guys know what it is, but I might poke in and play around with it for a minute just so I could have something to say about it.
Well, yeah, I'd like to just like kind of like touch it to
yeah,
because there's things about it that good and bad.
Yeah,
I think we should touch on next week. While discussing it, but all right, well, so there's Jeff's nominee. I am going to I'm gonna go even older than Jeff.
Oh, I know what you're going with. I know it. I know it.
You don't.
Don't say Pong.
No. But after Pong, but before the Nintendo Entertainment System, I am going with Jungle Hunt.
Wow!
From the Atari 2600. It's probably like the first action platformer. Well, I mean, at the time there weren't really action platformers. Maybe Pitfall, but Jungle Hunt was the one that I played a ton of, and it was the most like almost like Indiana Jones-ish for me. It is today, and maybe this is argument against maybe why it doesn't get in, but it is maybe a little bit racist depiction of native people. It depicts the natives as like cannibals that want to eat the nice white girl, let's say.
Dear Lord.
But it's a great, like, I love it. It's a great game. Like, it's four stages. You're swinging on vines, you're swimming with crocodiles, you're dodging boulders going down a hill, and then you're avoiding the native people with their spears and who are trying to eat you as you try to save the princess. And then it loops again, but it's an arcade game. But it's so great. I played it recently again. It's like, yes, this is still just really well designed. It is maybe shitty messaging, but
easy also to ignore some of that stuff too, maybe, because it's like
when you look back at like game. Yeah, it's like back from like the early 80s. Like, I mean, it's not justifiable for it, but it was from a different time, and for sure. So yeah, that was obviously not what you were thinking I was going to go.
Dude, wow. I think you pulled the Blazing Lasers on us. I couldn't believe that.
I was really expecting Pac-Man.
Yeah, I obviously do. Pac-Man.
I was like, Pac-Man. It has to be Pac-Man.
I really bounced back and forth with it, but Jungle Hunt was like the game that was one before of the first Pac-Man. Games I got on the 2600. I did have Pac-Man on the 2600, but that is a terrible version of Pac-Man. So like my experience with Pac-Man was definitely at the arcade, and Jungle Hunt was like when I was like, you know, five, and I could sit in front of my TV and play it for hours. Whereas Pac-Man was later, and certainly Miss Pac-Man was probably the one I spent the most time playing in the arcade. So
yeah, I thought for sure Pac-Man or Miss Pac-Man, because a lot of people kind of like Miss Pac-Man more, but, dude, like, what if, like, I don't know, like, you die before the next nomination, you'll have Jungle Hunt. No,
that's right. It'll be it.
maybe be someone else will nominate Pac-Man in his honor.
Please. I mean, it was funny after we had kind of announced this, and like even Josh said, there are definitely ones that, you know, just deserve to be in there, right? Like Pong, Pac-Man, Mario. Like, it's going to be hard for us to, like, especially early on to get all of those in, but
yeah, it's just because it's so limited, like, that we're each choosing one that I'm like, I will never use one of my choices on Pong. Like, I'm just not, right, like, no. I don't love it.
I don't have any love for it.
So. Like, I respect it. It's fun. I think Pong's a fun game, but like, it's just like, again, it's like, all right, if you get a choice twice a year, I have to go with something like Legend of Zelda. And I get, you know, I'm not joking that one day, for me anyways, like, Blazing Lasers is like one of those, like, I'm not joking, it's good, guys. Look it up. Anyways.
All right. Jeff's still trying to sell us on Blazing Lasers. He didn't even nominate
it. Fucking great.
He brought it up again. All right, I'm having another beer. It's Jeff's fault.
All right, Tony. Where are you at?
All right, so I keep going back and forth on this. I've been thinking a lot about what game I would feel the saddest if it wasn't in our Hall of Fame. And I'm like, you know, I love my random strategy games, and there are so many that actually fit into like the time period we chose. But if I'm going to be honest, like, the game that I think of, like the most legendary game that I have to reach back to, the game like I remember sitting and waiting for it at Kmart. I absolutely had to have it. I played so many hours of it because it was so awesome, and it was Super Mario Brothers 3.
Yeah, you saved me a pick there, buddy.
Yeah, it's I still think it's the best Mario game of all time. The amount of content they were able to wrangle out of the NES with this game, it's just the different worlds and all the suits and all the enemies. It just, it is an awesome, awesome game. Yes. And so I think that's got to be my nominee.
Well, so you guys picked two like bulletproof games. I'm like rolling up with, hey, Jungle Hunt guys, how about this like possibly racist game?
I also love that Tony like picked that Mario 3. That got out of the way for me and you, Chris, because like I think it's awesome too how we all agree that, at least all three of us here tonight, that Mario 3 is the best one. Like, a lot of other people go Super Mario World, which, you know, I can't really fault you. It's a great game, but like
World's Mario, a great game. It's
sure.
I think they look at World and like it looks a little bit better than yeah. 3.
Right.
But I think like if you were to sit down and play them side by side, like I think the level design in 3 is better. I think the idea of like the Tanuki suit and like the way you fly with that is so much cooler than was it the cape in World? I don't know. I just enjoy everything about it a little more.
I think 3 was such an upgrade from 1 at the time.
Yeah.
Like, that's the big thing for me is like, it was like, oh man, this is like, we took this idea as far as we could. And then Super Mario World was like, you know, there's new ideas, but it was just kind of that in with a better graphics and stuff.
Right,
like,
better graphics, a system that could do a little bit more.
Yeah, you know, and so I think somewhat easier, and some different things, but like, yeah, it's
and that's great. That's where I can see like somebody going like, you know, the Legend of Zelda over like the Legend of Zelda: Link to the Past over the Legend of Zelda. Like, that's a huge, like, it's as great as Legend of Zelda is, but like a Link to the Past is
Link to the Past is the Mario 3. Like, Link to the Past is what Mario 3 is.
It's the next evolution of that type of game up until they go to 3D. So, like World is great, but it's more like 3.5. Just with 3.5 in HD at the time.
Right.
And it was so funny. I think when you and I, Chris, just played Yoshi's Island for the first time on the Super Nintendo Classic.
Yeah.
And I think you and I are both kind of like, man, that's almost better. Like, it has like really unique bosses and just crazy visuals and stuff. It's weird. I go back and forth on it.
I do agree with you that that it's a different game like that than like Mario, but I enjoy it more than Super Mario World. But I could see where people are like, World is undeniably a great game.
We're not saying that, but I just think it's funny that all three of us, like, the odds of you getting three people together that all agree that Mario 3 is the best one is pretty awesome.
When I believe that Earl is on board with that as well,
which is crazy because like you'd think that the younger generation would go World or not even give a fuck.
Well, I think if Peter was on today, like, he would be like, I don't give a fuck. Like,
right. Yeah, he's like, I never played that game, you old dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
and it is like so much like what you said, Tony. It's like, it's a game that like we waited for, right? Like, it was that first game that we really like kind of anticipated.
And, yeah.
They built it up perfectly.
Yeah. I've posted this on Twitter and shit before. Like, I have a picture of me getting Mario 3. Like my parents took the picture as I was like, and it's just like, I'm standing there like with it in my hand, like amazed. And there's like three of my friends kind of like around me all like, yes, let's fucking play this motherfucker. And I remember like we played that shit. I want to say I was up to like 2 or 3 in the morning playing it that night, which is like, you know, we're like fucking 8 years old or whatever. Like,
right.
It's crazy. Like, you know, like it was like a sleepover type thing. Like one of my friends, I remember he fell asleep like super early. But me and the two others, we were up to like probably 3 in the morning playing that fucking game, dude. yeah, it was like one of the greatest game experiences of my life, dude. It was, I still remember it fucking all these years later. So, yeah, great pick, man.
Woo!
And I, I that was the third game I beat this year. But,
Mario 3.
Yeah, I could go back and play a little bit more of it.
I need to go back and play that again. That game is awesome.
Yeah.
That, I think, is on the Switch as well, right?
I believe so.
I saw that you got that shit finally.
I did.
I saw you playing Tetris on there.
Yeah, and I got that Game Boy.
Damn it. I didn't do that. I never got around to it.
I'm not sure I like Tetris 99, but...
What?
I'm not sure.
It's fun. Like, I can't
believe it is fun. Like, it's not...
It's Tetris.
It is. I don't 99. Know, yeah, I don't know if I like the chaos of, like, the targeting and you being targeted and, like, you not really having any control over it. Like, you could be playing great, but you could just be target, randomly, you know, shitting on.
Target back at those motherfuckers. They'll get off you.
Yeah. But it is fun. It's, like, I'm not sure I love it. But whatever. Who cares?
This free game, so
it's free, and like the skin was free, so I can't complain. Like, and I enjoyed playing it for the hour I did over the weekend to get the skin. So
I should have done that.
All right. Well, we don't know what Earl's nominee was, or potentially Pete's nominee. We will reach out to them internally, and hopefully get them soon, so that we can kind of build up a body of argument against them or for them.
I'm going against them now.
It's like, see, I like, honestly, the two nominees you guys put up, I have no complaints with at all. So, there are certainly things to talk about.
But. I'm going
to
look in the Jungle Hunt, but is it like on one of those Atari collections? Like, you download on the Xbox? Ooh,
that's a good question. I don't know.
And also, how much are those collections?
Let's see.
Do you even care? Just have a few drinks and order.
And I'll be like, hey, if they're on sale, it's instant buy. I'm terrible, dude. I'm like, if I see sales now, I'm just like, ooh. Like, it's a game that I might play once. It's $3. All right.
All right.
I mean, fucking, you know, when it's that cheap, it's just like, who cares?
Yeah, I don't know. I'll find out for you.
All right.
Where you can
I'll look into it. I'll at least like watch some, you know, videos on the game and shit.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I played the 2600 version of it. It is not a pretty looking game today, but
it's probably a game I played.
It is detailed enough that if you played it, like, as soon as you hear the music, like the music is kind of iconic to me, and definitely the different types of gameplay, which was interesting. So.
There was, you know, a game like that I played when I was a kid, and I, you know, like I said, I had an Atari when I was very little, but it could have been Pitfall or whatever. Like, you know, I don't know, the way you described it made it sound kind of like Pitfall.
So. A little bit. It's more of an arcade. Like, Pitfall was more of an actual adventure platformer, whereas Jungle Hunt is like an action platformer, but arcade style. Like, in that old style arcade where, like, you would do like a level, you do like the four levels, and then just like Pac-Man, like, you finish a level of Pac-Man and it loops back to the beginning.
Mm-hmm,
you keep doing your score. So it's kind of that, like, it's on a loop, but where I think Pitfall kind of had an ending. I never beat Pitfall though, so.
All right. I'll check.
I will let you know if it is available to play. And where you can do so. We'll try and get Earl and Pete's nominees, and we will rank the. I will email you guys the list because I'm sure you don't remember off the top of your head. But yeah, we will rank the listener and fan submitted and come up with an entry for that, and maybe discussion around some of those games. There's some good games on that list. Some games I don't particularly. Not a particular fan of. there are some classics on there for sure.
Sure.
So we will talk about some of them next week. And is there any new games coming out? You guys know?
Um, soon. There's a bunch, but I don't know about next week.
I don't think there are any next week. But
we don't have anything scheduled for any of us. Like, we're not planning on picking anything up. So
hopefully, I have an actual new computer at that point. So I can play
Total War. Yeah, and maybe I'll get around to finally playing Castlevania.
Yeah,
that Castlevania of the 8 games I've already played, but I'll buy them again to just because. Just like Jack did.
Why not?
Dude,
why not?
$20 bucks for a bunch of cool ass games. I mean,
yeah, I'm not opposed to that. So we will be back next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.